It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that is why, to this day, only me and Corey Feldman are banned from that hotel. Anybody else is fine, but not me or him.
Well, I'm glad you told me that, because I've always wondered, and I was afraid to ask.
Right. Off of last week, there were actually people who checked in with me later to see what the issue was about when I'd go to the bathroom, because I said, and it's going to be like that for every 6 months. And I was like, I am simultaneously touched that people care that much and disappointed that people know me so poorly that they think anything I say, especially if it sounds interesting, is at all not a huge lie. Let's put it that way. Hello. Okay, wait. We have to stop for a second. That's the same hat at least 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Is this in preparation for the movie?
No.
Did you lose your other hats?
No.
Is it... Did you get it stuck on your head?
No.
Alright. I feel like one of those must be a lie.
It's a... You know, when my hats are stored, whatever you want to say, or stacked.
Little kids would
they're
say stacked
on top of each other.
Because they can't say the R sound yet. I stowed it up in the top of it.
You're just making me laugh. They're stacked, so this is the hat was on top.
Okay, but are they always stowed? Or are they ever not?
Nope, they're always in there.
So really that part was...
I mean, if I ever... I sometimes will deliberately pick a particular hat for a particular reason. But when I'm coming here, I just grab what's on top. So
what this really says is not any particular attraction to that hat, but that it has been quite a while since you've had a cause to wear a specific hat. Because otherwise you would have taken it out and probably set it back on top.
The last time I had... a cause to pick a specific hat was, and I forgot to talk about this last time, was when I did the whole gaming in public thing a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And we were going to play a Star Wars game, so I wore a Star Wars hat. And that was really fun, by the way.
Wearing that hat?
Playing that game.
Oh.
It was more fun than usual for a few reasons. One, there were a lot of people there playing the game, which...
How many players would you say?
Like 8 or 9.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. And now, they sort of apologized for that, the size of the group, suggesting that for some people that might be too big, like probably because a lot of other people have to wait while other people are doing
the
thing.
The most common wisdom with which I am familiar... and the one that I tend to hold to, is at least 3 players, no more than 6 players, if you can help it. I have played in as many as 14 in a group. It does. Part of it is waiting. Part of it is if you make the storyline at all personal, a huge percentage of the people won't be involved. It's one thing where you're like, this whole story arc is going to be about this person instead of these two, but it's different to say when it's going to be about this person instead of these other 9.
I see what you're saying.
You know, and with certain systems, I mean, if you're playing a 4th edition D&D game, depending on the length of your session, it might take you the session to get through the fight with a normal size group.
Yeah,
with that many, it could be a week.
Saying. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't have any problem, like, waiting.
Sometimes it works. Well, and if you're somebody like me, I like watching role-playing
games.
Then I enjoy that. For other people, I think that would be awful.
I enjoyed watching what everybody else was doing. But it also, I like even when we're playing in a small group, I like when there are opportunities for the party to split up, you know, for the party to sort of strategize and like different people do different things.
Oh my God. You're so not a gamer.
And
that is, that borders on rule number one.
That you don't do that?
Don't split the party. Ever. Ever.
I like that.
And the primary argument, I believe, is the fact that then, first of all, the GM has to keep fucking track. And second of all, everybody has to keep track of who was there and whether or not they know whatever happened. And then three, the other people just sit with their thumb up their butt. Well,
but this is Star Wars. The party always splits up.
You can do that shit in movies. Actors get a chance to go to their trailer or whatever. And that's part of a thing. Like, you will find games that are going for sort of realist simulation, but they will make exceptions for things like, this would make sense to split up, but we're not going to do that. Okay. Well, or you split the NPCs off, and then the GM can just up whatever happened
to them. It was easy also to do in this game, because another thing that made me, I think, enjoy it especially was that there were maps of where we were, you know, or where we might be going, which helped everybody keep track of where everybody was and what they were doing. And I thought that was kind of neat. But probably the biggest thing was, and I had no idea how significant this would be, because so far I've never played a game in this context before. Playing, role-playing in a world that I'm super familiar with because of the movies and everything made a huge difference, because I've never done that before.
And that can be good or bad, depending on how you do it.
I suppose.
When I ran the old Star Wars game, I had people constantly fighting me on their ability to do something because someone in the movies had done it. I am not making this up in the slightest.
But, I mean, I always enjoy these gaming in public things. They're always awesome, and the three guys that are typically running games all do a great job, including Dave Avid, as you know. So for me to say that this was the funnest one I've been to is saying a lot. And Brian was running this one, but it's not really so much who was running it as, like I said, as those three things, those aspects of the game itself that made it surprising to me, made it more enjoyable. Like, if someone had told me, well, you're going to enjoy role-playing more in a world that you're familiar with, I would have thought, why would that be?
I think there's an immersion component. So it feels more real, and you can react more naturally when you're familiar with the setting to a huge degree. And the easy way to do that is if it's an established property. The other way is to play a game for like 2 damn years, and then you really know the setting because you've spent so much time
in it. There's also an element, though, when you're new to this kind of thing, especially when you're a middle-aged person and you're new to it, and when you go to these events and everybody else is not. Do you know what I'm saying?
So they're familiar with a lot more stuff that you aren't, but Star Wars, you're like, hey,
exactly.
I can talk Star
Wars. Either they're no more familiar with the world than I am, but they're used to slipping into worlds, you know, like that.
But there's also a lot of common settings.
Right, if
you're talking systems, that doesn't necessarily have a common setting, but it has a common enough theme that you sort of can pick it up from there.
So there's this sense that everybody knows or has an idea of how to do this, and I don't.
Yeah.
But in this world, you know, I know a little bit, so it was just, I don't know. I just didn't expect that would be a thing.
Because she frequently has cold paws.
But that was something I wanted to
try out last time I did. I've heard really good things about the Edge of the Empire game, and I've been very curious about it, but in general I don't want to encourage Star Wars, so haven't. I would play it.
This is one they're going to continue playing, and unfortunately the next playing in public is on the 9th, which is my brother's birthday, so we'll probably be out of town.
No, make him come and play another character.
Well, no, he wouldn't do that. But we might not be getting to get on his birthday for a variety of reasons, so maybe we'll still be able to go play.
The Happy Jacks guys, remember Happy Jacks RPG podcast, had one of their number, I'm not even sure if it was a member of the group or just a friend of theirs, but had a bachelor party before his wedding, like you do. But there specifically was they I think they reserved a bar, like one of their friends owned a bar, so it was after closing, so they had a bar to themselves. And they drank a lot, because bachelor party, and then they played D&D. But they specifically, it was 4th edition D&D, and one of the thing about 4th edition D&D is there's a level cap. You can be level 30, and at that point, you're basically godlike. So what happened was the guy who was running it beforehand just made a whole bunch of pre-generated 30th level D&D characters, and so they all just got drunk and played in this crazy adventure where they were that all had these godlike powers. Apparently it was really fun. And I feel like it was really original for a bachelor party. So.
We haven't introduced ourselves yet or anything.
No, right? Yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that we're willing to do because it turns out that it counts towards our community service. So, you know, get those hours down. Stay out of jail.
We're getting really close to being done.
Mm-hmm.
Another, what, 6 or 7 years?
I had more charges than you, at a certain point he'll drop out, probably.
Yeah.
And I'll have to keep going.
Unless I do something else.
Well, yeah.
You never know.
And we're the good universe, people. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 263.
263. All right, because we clearly have so much to talk about, I'm going to run through this fast for those of you who just joined us for the first time. Thank you for holding on this, like, 12 minutes in to find out what the fuck is happening. here's how it goes. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves, specifically yourselves, do it now. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little things, little notes, little comments, little topics, questions for conversation, things that incite talking. Hence, magical talking hat. Mm-hmm. It's exoskeleton servants. it's a word. I jumped ahead. Before the exoskeleton, the hat on its own magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its exoskeletoned servants, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. I realize tonight in particular, I'm really counting on the listener to get a lot of my gestures and my facial expressions.
I see that.
I'm even doing, like, old office style, like, side glance to the camera things. And I have no idea why.
Exoskeleton. So apparently we picked them out of the hat with our pincers.
Yes. So, only been a week. And how many robots have you made, William?
You know I haven't made any. I told you, we didn't get it right away.
Here's the thing. It's damn, nobody's done it, which is driving me insane. So, let's back up for a second. Tuesday, lunch, I'm kind of stressed. And I'm like, you know what I really need is like a vacation. But I'm like, but it doesn't even have to. I just need a day off. That's not the weekend where I have weekend plans or whatever.
You're not sick.
I just need a day. And I'm not sick or whatever. And I realize the next day, Wednesday, I have no meetings and no deadlines. And that's like the only day of the week. My job is way more meetings than it used to be. Like, I'm a mover and a shaker now. It's really annoying. But I realized that went fine. So I'm like, maybe I'll do that. And so I email my boss about it. And she's like, yeah, that'd be fine. And I check with some other things, make sure nobody's leaving Hydra. And I was like, you know what? I'm going for it. I'm like, I'm taking Wednesday off. Still got to go to the gym with the wife. Mm-hmm. 5:15. Still do that.
Mm-hmm.
Come home. That's what I do. Come home, go back to sleep. But eventually I wake up and I have my day. Here's the problem.
Okay. Tell me the problem.
Well, it's not a problem. It's an appearance issue.
Tell me the appearance issue.
So, Tuesday night, I discover that the first downloadable content for Fallout 4 is available.
Awesome.
And I download it, and I install it, and I load the game, and it's not there, and I'm kind of annoyed about that. But I wasn't really planning on messing with it anyway. But I suddenly realized I'm home all the next day.
Mm.
And people do this. People take off days of work when a new game or a new DLC comes out. So I look like that freak. But I'm like, no, it was purely on accident. But sure enough, I spent a lot more of the day than I planned on playing Fallout 4 because mostly you just make robots and it's awesome. Yep.
Yep, I can't wait.
It's cool. It's got a whole storyline that I'm still in the midst of. And it has a lot of robots, and you learn how to make a robot workbench, and then you build it out of pieces. And honestly, I say I built robots. I've modified one that you just shows up. You get a new companion that has one. I've modified her. And I've built only one additional robot. But I've built it several times. Just like modified it into something new. But now, to establish, I call it Beatrice 86. Mm-hmm. It has female voice, not mechanized, just a regular female voice. And her legs are Protectron, and her body is Mr. Handy. And she has no head, but she's got one of those eye stalks, and two big strong arms with like a laser gun and something
beefy
else.
Beefy arms?
Like beefy arms, yes. Sticking out of the back of her neck there is pretty cool. Get a load of her majesty. And she's pink, and yeah, and she's kind of short. She's really weird looking, but I like her. And I mostly made her because I pretty much selected for the ability to carry a bunch.
Oh, sure.
So
right,
now,
right.
If I want to go out and do that, mm-hmm. I can take her along. Because that's the thing. You can make them companions, or they're just settlers, basically. So I haven't figured out yet if I can assign them, like, go build some crops or whatever, you know. But they just hang out. Because, like, if you dismiss one, you have to send it to a settlement. Mm. And you very clearly have no relationship with them. Like, you know how before you could ask about your relationship? It's not even an option. In the talking, the options are dismissing it, canceling, turning on or off its personality. That's creepy as hell.
Do you pick its personality? Like, do you assign
it
a personality?
No, no. The personality, because when you first build one, it doesn't have its personality on yet. And so I actually know what the difference sounds like. Not much difference. Just a little bit. They call you by a name, like they make observations and shit like that. Or you can order it to self-destruct.
Why would you do that?
I assume as a tactical move.
Right, but, I mean, you can time it, or you can tell it when to do that when they reach a certain destination?
No, I'm guessing if I hit it, there's like the 10-second countdown and I run like hell. Or I don't know. I haven't done it. I don't plan to do it. I think it sounds awful. But, yeah, these are your options instead of things like thoughts or relationship. And actually, depending on the context, sometimes I can try and talk to them. And when I select talk, I just say their name and they give me shit. And then I'm out of the menu.
I wish you could, like, send a whole bunch of them to patrol the Commonwealth. That would
right,
be awesome.
Right. I think you can make them de facto guards in your settlements. But, yeah, I was hoping for something like that, too. But it's not happening. Although, who knows? Because I have not finished the quest line. Maybe I'll get super new robot powers after the quest line.
Maybe.
So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. I've seen some shitty movies. I'm trying to think of... I did see one that I need to talk about. I thought I saw another one that was of significance, but I don't think I have. So, watched a movie yesterday. The movie's called Blood Car.
Mm-hmm.
About a car that runs on blood.
Runs on blood?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Because blood is highly flammable.
Yeah. So the least of the issues with this movie. I don't recommend it. It's a terrible movie. It's one of those films that is very much trying to be so bad it's funny and does a lot of winking and nodding and clearly has that vibe that, like, random equals funny,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just dumb as hell. But I bring it up for a couple of important reasons. I suspect it was filmed in Iowa.
Iowa?
Two major clues. One, on the... in this one by itself, he has a fridge magnet that's Iowa and in the shape of Iowa that we see incidentally in a scene. And I thought maybe they stuck it on there because it's supposed to be middle America or whatever. Mm. But at the end, there's a shot of him posing in front of a Capitol building that I'm pretty sure is the Iowa Capitol building.
Mm.
I mean, I know Capitol buildings start to look pretty similar, but... So I think that's a possibility. And then the other major reason... Well, there's two other reasons. One... this won't be for everybody, but there were multiple scenes of watching secret government agent men in black walk up to kindergartners and shoot them in the head point blank. And what? That was kind of fun.
It was fun?
It was fun.
Sounds terrible.
You never see kids get shot in the head, you know? And, but it was...
For a reason.
But it was terrible CGI, because I've actually seen, like the bit from In Bruges. That was really disturbing. But this one's very terrible CGI, so it's just kind of funny to watch the kid, like, have a fake thing go through, and, like, the kid was clearly trained to just, like, fall back and stuff. If it had looked believable, I wouldn't have found it fun. But in the situation, I found it kind of
amazing. Okay.
And the best part about this whole thing, the creator of the blood car, who becomes a de facto serial killer, unsurprisingly, is a vegan who loses his mind about this so bad that he eventually has pretty much a full psychotic break and pigs out on barbecue. And that was just fun to watch.
I see.
It would have been better if it was chicken, but, you know.
I saw The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, how was?
I didn't like it.
Really?
It wasn't anything. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was...
just of a non-interest. Interesting.
If someone had shown it to me and just asked me what I thought of it, I would say, well, you know, it looks like one of those direct-to-video things that, you know, you might show your kids and they'll like it and watch it 500 times, but it doesn't look like anything that would do very well in the theaters. And if they told me it was a Pixar film, there's no way I'd have believed them. Not because the animation looked bad, because the animation was actually quite good.
Yeah.
But it was the story was just...
interesting.
It was almost non-existent.
I have seen a few folks really claim that it was something special and amazing, but other than that, I will say, I don't feel like it made much of an impact at all. I mean, I don't know a lot of people personally who saw it or anything like that. So maybe there's just that exact thing, that it was just sort of... eh.
Well, but and that would be fine for anyone else, but for a Pixar movie, it was pretty disappointing.
Yeah. When are you going to see The Thing?
I don't know.
I shouldn't say it that way, because there's actually a few movies with that title. I mean, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Franchise.
Just before I came in here, I heard the NPR review of it, which oddly said almost nothing about it, except... talked about some of... I mean, basically, the guy talked about what was in the movie, and it was all stuff that you see in the previews, so it's like, for a second I thought, did you actually see this movie? Or are you just telling me what the previews have in them? And he didn't really say what he thought about it, but you could tell a little bit by his sarcasm and smarmy manner that he wasn't that appreciative of it. And of course, the last thing he said was that he implied that it wasn't fun. Which, of course, it's not fun.
No, this is a pretty dark one.
Well, DC's not going to make fun movies because Marvel's doing that, apparently. So they can't do that. They can't make a movie fun, a superhero movie fun.
I feel like you're giving DC way too much credit for them to put together. Marvel's doing this, so we won't do that.
No, but I think I read in some article somewhere that someone from DC, or maybe it was Snyder, somebody, like, said, look, we're not going to make... a goofy, funny superhero movies. We're going to take it seriously or something. It was a deliberate decision.
That would be a step in its favor for me, because I would kind of prefer that kind. Although they usually end up fucking it up, so I can't take it seriously.
How do you take... I mean, I don't know how you can make a superhero movie that's not fun. If it takes itself...
Christopher Nolan. That's how you do it.
Well...
those movies weren't fun at all.
No, I suppose that's true, but probably the reason people like the second one the best is because the Joker was darkly funny.
Yes.
Okay. So it's there's still humor. There's still humor there.
Well,
but these aren't darkly funny. They're just darkly dark. And it's
after you see it, you'll be able to explain to us more reasons why they shouldn't have. Well,
you know, I kind of look forward to Ben Affleck's performance because, you know, as I've often said, I'm not a fan of his, but when he's in certain things, he's quite good, and he might do well with this, but I don't know. I'm just looking forward to seeing if this is one of those roles where he's really terrible or he's really great, because there's really no in between with him anyway.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
I totally expect Cavill's performance to be blah and boring, and Superman to be poorly drawn and awful. And
like before.
Yeah, and the, exactly, just like before. And the guy in the review made it sound like that Wonder Woman is in it as little as you would expect from the trailers, which is probably a good thing.
Just long enough to say, hey, look, it's Jason Momoa, and then she's gone.
Well, here's the thing about that. I've gotten to the point where I don't want her to be in the movie very much, because the more she's in the movie, the more they might give away about what they're going to do with her movie, and the more I'm going to anticipate how horrible it's going to be. I think I would like to have hope until those hopes are dashed down the road.
I don't know.
Instead of having the hopes dashed now.
I refrained from responding to your ideal Justice League movie with just ha 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 like 1,000 times in email. But I did laugh out loud that you think that it would ever have a prayer of happening.
I don't remember what I said.
Well, I know we had to get a Blue Lantern in there.
Oh, no, this was for TV.
Yeah, okay.
This was for television.
Still.
And no, it's not going to happen, because I just found out. So I'm really excited about Supergirl on Monday, because Flash is going to be on it. You know, like, they're going to have a crossover episode. Which, you know, I didn't really expect that would happen. Even though CW and CBS are owned by the same people, I just didn't think they'd do it. Mm. But they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I was really excited about that, because I thought, wow, you know, maybe someday they're going to have this. That's why I sent that email. I was thinking they might have a crossover down the road, because Martian Manhunter's in Supergirl, so that's covered. Okay, and you got the Flash. And the TV, DC TV universe seems to be okay with a Green Arrow standing in for Batman, and that's fine. I don't care. Do whatever they want there. And so the only characters that they haven't existed in the DC TV universe yet are someone who would represent Wonder Woman and someone who would represent Green Lantern. And so I was thinking, hey, what would be cool is if they introduced Philippus, because she's an Amazon, but also a woman of color. So that would... She could stand in for Wonder Woman. She could have all of her powers, and that would be a good way to get better representation there. And then instead of introducing Green Lantern into the TV universe, which I don't think they'd do anyway, you've got all of these new color lanterns.
Yeah, I forget which ones are blue.
Blue is Hope.
Now, of course, you picked Hope.
Well, actually, what I thought would be fun was in the Green Lantern animated series, which was excellent, but they canceled it. It was so good. And they canceled it. I don't know why. But in that one, they had a character who was a Red Lantern for a while.
Oh.
But then worked through in his story arc in the thing, kind of worked through it. And then at the very end, the Blue Lantern kind of tries to seek him out. You know, Hope, which I thought was awesome. I thought, oh, you could do the same thing here. And also, again, you could make this a woman of color, perhaps, for representational purposes. And then you could have this really... a different JLA kind of thing for TV that was kind of neat. And that's why I suggested all those things in that email.
They call it West Coast JLA.
But it's not, here's why it's not going to happen.
Because, yeah, tell me the reason.
All right, there's lots of reasons, but here's the actual reason it's not going to happen is because what I found out was when Flash is going to be on Supergirl on Monday, he's going to be there.
He's
going to
be, just for a second,
from another universe.
Oh, so it's not even the same Flash.
No, it's the same Flash.
Oh, but...
because in the...
we're establishing they're in different universes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, oh, what? Why are you doing that? That doesn't make any sense.
So that we can have Crisis on Infinite
Well,
Earth.
I mean, the thing is, in the Flash right now, and of course, Arrow is in the same universe as Flash, they've had the 52 universes opened up and stuff, and we have to close them and all that jazz. So the multiverse has been introduced in Flash, and there's a lot of use has been made of it this season, and that's fine. But why can't they just be in the same universe? I mean, that's so disappointing, because that means they probably
want to leave their options open. If they break some shit in one, they can still have it in the other.
Yeah, but it actually limits their options, because. Okay, so he's going to be on the show, and he's traveling there from another universe. So if they ever want him to be on the show again, he has to travel from another universe again?
Yeah, but that
doesn't make any sense.
Easy.
Traveling from one universe to the other should be kind of a special thing.
Yes, but traveling from one universe to another in a comic book TV series
I suppose. Easy. But it seems like you would...
Look, this hot woman we rescued happens to have the ability to open portals. Perfect timing, hot woman. We'll never see you again.
Okay, fine, but I just don't like it. I
know how to make
TV. I wanted them to be in the same universe. I wanted them
I believe that.
Down the road, have this really cool... Because, you know, in Smallville, as the series went on, they introduced other characters. Well, Cyborg, you know...
Goddamn Wonder Twins.
Wonder Twins, one of the versions of
Fucking Flash. Aquaman.
But some of those episodes were really good, and some of the actors they got to play those roles were really good. And then they had, I think, one or two episodes where they were all together in kind of a Justice League kind of thing. It was kind of fun. It was neat. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be cool if they did that again? But now there's no hope for it because, you know... And that was another thing I was excited about.
If only we had a Blue Lantern.
Was that in that JLA...
So that mean the Blue Lantern's basically just the bard... Of the
well, the
of
thing the about JLA, Blue Lantern,
they're
kind
just
of
they're like, don't give up.
The reason that the Blue Lantern actually wouldn't work for this idea.
Why did I do this?
Is because my understanding is a Blue Lantern kind of needs a Green Lantern in order to be most effective, like with them.
That's colorist.
It's a little weird. But anyhow, one of the things I was excited about was
the other spectrum things never were thought of.
But wouldn't it have been cool if like. They had this TV JLA thing, and it was anchored by Supergirl instead of Superman. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. All this cool stuff they could have done, but now they can't because she's in a different universe, which I don't understand. That just seems so stupid to me. But anyway, you got me talking about this. It's your fault.
All right,
and you're not even done talking about your week.
I have a story about superheroes, and I have a story about Ben Affleck. Which one do you want first? I'm telling both of them.
Tell them both. Just
which
just,
one? You must pick gun to your head.
Ben Affleck is that? Okay. That's probably the one I'm going to like the least.
Story first. All right. So on my day off, I was.
You met Ben Affleck.
I think while I was eating or lunch or something. No, I'm watching TV.
Oh.
And Comedy Central was just running back to back old Saturday Night Lives. So okay. I'm like, what the hell? I'll watch some of those. And there's one with Ben Affleck. And they're doing a scene. They're doing a sketch, and the premise of the sketch is that he is Ben Affleck filming a movie. And in this movie, he's talking opposite an actor played by Chris Parnell, who is going to be playing a mentally handicapped individual. And so they start the scene, and then the stage director warns him to be to be especially attentive for anything going on with the extras, because some of them are actually mentally handicapped. And sure enough, in the back, you see Fred Armisen with these big, thick glasses and this really goofy grin on his face and eyes real wide. And I quickly hit the info button and find out this was filmed in 2004. And I'm like, really? We're going for retard jokes in 2004? Mm. What the hell? And I'm already pissed, and I'm ready to just be super pissed and to be confused. If this was 94, yes. But 2004, I'm like, come on. We were better than that by then.
12 years ago.
And I'm like, what the hell? But that's not what the sketch is about. And I might know more if I knew the material, but this is very specifically the filming of a scene that is actually in the movie Geely, which at the time had come out not long ago. It had come out long ago enough that we all knew it tanked.
Mm.
And the whole bit is that Fred Armisen, the mentally handicapped extra, in between takes keeps trying to explain to Ben Affleck, this probably isn't a good idea. And he's like, you know, people find it off-putting when real-life celebrity couples are in movies together. Look at Eyes Wide Shut and whatever. And he's like, yeah, and the premise isn't working here, and you're doing the whole converting a lesbian thing, like in Chasing Amy, just in between it. And Ben Affleck, his part in the whole thing is to be, like, super convinced that Geely is going to be awesome. And not only is he laying that on, but he at this point can look back and find it amusing enough. He breaks so many times trying to do these kind of stuff. He's like, well, I think you're going to be surprised. I think this is going to break the mold. But he's grinning his ass off. And I was like, way to turn it around. Because I was prepared. I was just like, horrified. I was
what,
like,
what
how
is
he, this a
what
setup?
Did he just made in 2004?
I don't know what he made that he was on SNL, because he's made so many things that all sound really similar and is hard to keep track of. I'm going to assume it was Paycheck, because I just always assume it's Paycheck. Dude, it took me years to figure out it was not the same movie as Ransom with Mel Gibson, so because I fucking saw Paycheck. By the way, not that great, but his performance in State of Play, amazing, and he plays a fairly small role in that. And he did really good in Gone Girl, but that movie's fucked up. Don't see it. Okay, that was my Ben Affleck story. I do think that will be the one you like less, though. I think you're going to like this one a lot.
Okay, well, see, I picked wisely. Yeah.
So, we're still working out all the details, because one of my players in my gaming group works crazy, and he frequently can't make it, and he probably won't for a few more weeks. And another player in my group, the only one really who's likely to ever GM anything, has decided finally that he wants to GM something. So that's what we're going to do for a while. He's going to run a thing, at least for a few weeks. Try it out. And what he's running is a game called Worlds in Peril. That is a superhero game based on the Apocalypse World engine.
Is that the game we played?
That is the game that you and I and your wife and people we didn't know played, in which you played Ghetto Iron Man, which I explained to my group about, because the characters we all played are in the book, like they're the archetypes.
Sure, right.
So they knew which one, and I was like, yep, he's Ghetto Iron Man. And I was like, no, you don't understand, he was the sad sack in our game. I'm just like, he could not succeed at anything. It was really sad.
Well, one thing, but
it was
by
really
that time
sad.
It didn't really matter.
And so yeah, so we're gonna play that. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, because I really like that system.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you seem to really like the character you got, too.
I did. That's not who I'm playing this time. I'm still working out the power situation, but you remember a few years ago, because every Russian has a dashboard cam, we got to see footage of that meteorite hit? Well, that meteorite hit a little old lady who got superpowers from it, and that's
right.
Going to be me.
Okay.
I'm playing little old Russian lady. We are considering possibility that her superhero name might be Baba Yaga.
Ooh.
Although she will explain at great length how that is a huge waste of chicken feet. At this... Who's their sidekick? Oh, yeah. Trish thinks that she should have a sidekick of one of those Russian dogs that commutes. Do you know these? They know the subway system, and they go in and they go into the city in the daytime and beg for scraps and stuff, and then go back out. Seriously, this is a phenomenon.
Go back out to where?
To the suburbs, where it's nicer, or where they have owners in some cases. I don't know. Yeah, it's fucked up. Huh. So she thinks she should have one as a sidekick.
I didn't
but
realize they let dogs run around in this.
It's Russia.
Metro.
They let them do whatever. There's feral children and shit. Oh, I think this is probably Neuroduck. Yeah.
Is she asking us a question? She has to
no, 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 no. She and I are having a child together, and so we're discussing it.
Okay.
This morning I met the doctor, and I sent her a message, and I said, I'm at the doctor, I'm pregnant, and it's yours. And it's escalated from there. But no, I haven't worked it out yet, but it appears that my character's catchphrase, battle cry, is either going to be, fuck you, or, as it just happened to come out several times in conversation, then it's going to be, fuck you, I'm sorry, what did you say? She's very much not going to be a sociable character.
Okay.
And so, yeah, she gets very angry at things.
Well, she got hit by a meteor.
In Russia, meteor hits you. That's the thing. Do they all have to be, like, contrasting?
I don't
or can
know.
It just be shit that happens in Russia that also might happen other places?
I don't
in
know.
Russia, you drive car. I haven't left the country, so I don't know how it is other places, but in Russia, drink through mouth, poop through butt. I don't know how you guys do it. That's why Yakov Smirnov was not much of a comedian in his home country. He had to come here and see the differences. Yeah, so that's gonna happen. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and we saw roller derby.
Yeah, you did.
Last Friday.
Yeah, you did.
That was awesome. We slaughtered. I haven't seen a game like that since.
Now, who is this other team?
Dark River, which I'm told is the Des Moines area. I'm now told no. Quincy, that's right. We had this. Quincy, Illinois. I was wondering at first if
why
it was Quincy, Missouri.
Why Dark River? I don't know.
Is they got a river and it's dark? The Illinois River is pretty dark because it's so fucking polluted. Could be that one. But yeah, we killed them. And I wouldn't even say they were that bad. But yeah, it was. I haven't seen a game like that since back before we were in the league and we would just dominate everybody. But there were a few people on our team that I had not seen before. So, and some people who have improved. Some people who very decidedly have gone up a couple notches since last season.
Great.
I was pleased for that. So yeah, that kicked ass. Alright, that's pretty much everything interesting I got going on so far. You want to draw things?
Is the hat underneath all this stuff?
It might be, I don't know. Am I my hat's keeper?
Yes.
Careful, don't tip it up.
Well, I didn't realize.
Just dumping all the cards out.
Well, I just grabbed what I saw. I didn't realize it was the bottom of it. The hat is not always easy to understand.
Maybe because it speaks in Welsh?
Now that it's coming to a close, what do you make of Obama's presidency?
Wow, you are lucky we drew that out before.
I can make a pterodactyl.
Just kidding. Look, it's Obama's presidency. Look now, it's a flower. Look, it's a truck.
I don't know. I mean, do you have something to say? I mean, I've got plenty of things to say, I suppose, but I don't know if there's anything I want to say.
I think the common one you'll hear a lot of, you'll definitely hear it from a lot of people I know, and I would say for me, but maybe not as strongly as other people, is disappointed. I feel like there was a lot, which in retrospect is weird, because presidents never follow through on their campaign promises. Sometimes because they're assholes, and sometimes because they can't do it. And sometimes that's because, you know, it's a fight and you don't win. And sometimes it's because you vastly overestimate the power the President of the United States has.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Which is why, by the way, let me throw this out here. This is a thing I tweeted about this the other day. Nobody said anything. But it's something I have to do now. Disclaimer, what I'm about to say is not what I want. It's very much what I don't want. And it's not me saying that I think it is likely to happen. Given all that, I have made peace with the concept. I'm coming to terms with the concept of a Trump presidency.
Coming to terms with it.
I'm not scared anymore.
Oh.
I would not like it if he won. I feel he would be a really shitty president. But I don't feel like he'd be flinging a lot of Muslims out of the country. I don't feel like he'd actually pull off a wall. Like, I'm not scared of what he would be capable of.
Hello. How are you?
Food's here. Yep.
There you go.
Because I'm leased to the thing.
What?
Because I'm leased to the thing. Here, give me that top one.
Food, he steals
yes.
some of your cheese balls. He's a jerk.
Do you need me to close my eyes while you check it?
Are you sure he steals them?
That's a joke.
Somebody steals them. I don't know who it is.
For many, many years, my dad would bring us home pizza sometimes for dinner, and there would be a slice missing, and he would say that somebody at the thing ate it. And I thought that for years. I was a teenager one day, and I was like, he just ate that pizza every time, didn't he? My family's like, yeah.
Well.
So So I have multiple siblings, and when I was a kid, my grandfather, he would buy a bag of M&M's. And then he would give one to himself, say one for me, and say one for you, and then one to himself, one for me, and then one to my sister, one for you. And I was pretty sure that Grandpa was getting more than his fair share of M&M's.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew that one for me, one for you was fair. So I wasn't 100% sure how he was making that happen.
He pulled that with his own children earlier. With a can of sweetened condensed milk. And he would give them spoonfuls. But it would be one for you, and one for me, and one for the other kid, one for me. So, yeah, it's...
Well, I mean, I think... I think you're correct in thinking that a lot of the domestic things that he... One might be afraid he would do wouldn't... You know, wouldn't likely get done. He's the president. It's not Congress or whatever, you know. And if the Republicans don't even like him, a lot of those things aren't going to happen. Of course, that's why I've often said what concerns me most about a Trump presidency is what he does with foreign policy.
Absolutely.
Well, and not even so much with policy as he's going to be sitting down with heads of state. And, you know, that's all him. You know, whatever, whatever ridiculous, stupid things
but,
he says.
Again, I'm not... remotely saying I don't think it will
suck.
No,
I understand what you're saying.
I remember...
But, I mean, he could cause an international incident is what I'm saying. You just don't think that's likely.
Here's the thing. We always do this. I was freaked out about W. I was like, oh my God, he's going to blow us up or some shit.
No,
and think of all the things people were scared about Obama.
Right.
I'm still scared about Obama.
Okay, but I mean... George W. Bush did eventually, you know, get us involved in wars that
absolutely
that we didn't need to get involved with. Thousands of people.
He did not end our society as we know it. Or,
but you sincerely thought that might happen?
I was terrified he would do terrible things.
He pretty much did. Just
I was about as scared of him as people as the lunatics were of Obama.
He pretty much did as bad as I expected.
And even now. Everybody is even more terrified of Trump. And the people who... But then I got other people who I consider relatively intelligent, and they're like, Trump would be bad, but watch out for Clinton! And I'm like, really? that's our thing here? And I just realized... I mean, I've been sort of putting it together for a while, but I'm like... The fear doesn't help anything.
Well, no.
Being scared of who's going to be president doesn't help anything.
Well, I don't think I've ever been...
Okay.
Like, I don't think I felt the way of, about...
More
w,
than even
George
usual.
W.
Absolutely nothing in this has to do with you. Your political thoughts and processes and stuff don't match any other American.
Oh, you don't think so?
Nobody thinks nearly as rationally as you. Nobody gets as more broadly focused. The closest I can think is my friend Ben, who he's the same thing. He very seldom votes for one of the major parties and things like that.
Well, but I also don't get as emotionally... Like, you're right. A lot of people are terrified of Trump.
Absolutely.
President.
And I was.
I'm not terrified of it. I think bad things will happen... if he's president, but not any worse than has happened before. And you're right, actually, I don't think any worse than might happen with Clinton in a different direction. Because, I mean, I suppose if someone's afraid he's going to, like, push the button or something like that, I'm not afraid of anything like that.
Or potentially start extra wars with people just by being an asshole or...
Yeah,
you know,
well, I mean,
or, here's one, it's Donald Trump. Bankrupt the nation.
Yes, yeah, that's something I don't think... That's one of those things I'm not sure a president can do. Or, I mean, I know a president can't do it by him or herself. But like, sitting down with you know, Vladimir Putin and screwing that up somehow, yeah. Or talking to any head of state and totally messing that up, yeah. But then again, you know, I don't trust Hillary Clinton's foreign policy either. So what's the difference between a buffoon screwing things up and someone who's got a a bad foreign policy on purpose. I mean, it's kind of six of one, a half dozen the other to me. And I'm sure a lot of people would argue with that, obviously, thinking that, no, Hillary's definitely better than this guy who's just going to, like a bull in a china shop.
But
just
sadly, a lot of people would also go the other way and say, no, Donald's way better.
Oh, yeah, that's right, as you were saying. But, I mean, I'm not particularly terrified of anybody or anything in terms of who's going to get elected. But I do have to say that out of all the candidates that are running, I suppose even more than Hillary, I am not wanting Trump to get elected, because I guess I think in a way, some way that I can't really enumerate, he'd be worse, but not like disaster worse, like the whole world's going to end worse. I'm not afraid of anything like that. But I know a lot of people are. Yeah, I know a lot of people are. And I respect that. I understand if that's a person's opinion.
No, see, I've decided that, no, I don't understand anymore, and therefore I need to stop.
Well, for yourself, you don't understand. But I mean,
Yeah. See, this is, again, different from you than from me here. When I'm right, it does mean the other people are
right. Oh, come on.
I'm usually right.
You don't really mean that. I mean, there are a lot of people who feel this way who can explain rationally why.
Yeah, to a degree.
Well, exactly, to a degree. As far as any opinions can be rational.
And this is the thing.
Because often they're not. They're just opinions.
Weirdly, to bring it back around to our actual topic of conversation, based on the question here, there are many cases where I feel that this is what got Obama in trouble, in that I think he was a good president, and therefore not nearly as successful in his attempts at things as other people. I think he tried thought out conditional gradual change, and so he did some good things, but most of them look fairly modest because he didn't do it in crazy or underhanded ways that a lot of other politicians would. Now, there are exceptions. The way he's handled drug policy, the way he's handled the drones, super not happy about that. And that stuff was legitimate, like, decisions that I just strongly disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things, it gets into things like this. I don't know if he's weak or if he's a liar, but let's stop pretending every year that we're going to close Gitmo. Not happening.
Yeah, right.
Under your watch, clearly.
Well,
but you know, the healthcare, such as it is, I think is a step in the right direction. Getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that was pretty awesome.
I mean, it's easy to be disappointed with his presidency because, you know, he quite famously, notoriously, and a lot of people made fun of how much was promised at the... I mean, you remember all those parodies of him being like Superman or whatever,
yeah,
because of all the stuff he said he was going to do. And, you know, there were a lot of us who at the time thought, this is ridiculous. Why is he promising so much stuff? Does he really think he can do these things, or is he just saying this because he's trying to impress as many people as possible? I think a lot of times he really did come across as someone who thought he could really do these things.
I believe for the most part he did. I'm not saying he did the thing. He thought that.
But for me, I can completely forgive a person, you know, who's never been president, thinking they can accomplish a lot of things they can't accomplish. So I don't really hold any of that against him. And my expectations for his presidency and his first term and so on, I didn't expect he was going to do all that stuff. But there were some things I did expect he would do, and closing Guantanamo Bay was one of them. And especially after, you know, 8 years, I mean, if he never achieves it, or if he only achieves it at the end, that's just, to me, there's no excuse for that.
He just recently claimed he was going to do it again in yet another speech, but he literally just about every year says that, so.
So, and that's one of those things, and there's a whole list of things that I felt like would be priorities or should be priorities that he would get to, and, you know, if he didn't get to the rest of the stuff, I wasn't going to be too concerned about it, that he didn't get to. Some things he did that that I didn't want him to do, but, I mean, that's, I mean, I'm not a Democrat, so that's going to happen. But I'm not a Republican either, so, you know, it really wouldn't probably have mattered if he won or someone else won in that sense. So, I mean, I also find his tenure disappointing in a lot of ways, but I think that for most Democrats, unless they weren't realistic about,
which is going to be almost all of them.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people who weren't. I don't think most Democrats have too much to complain about in terms of things that he did or things that he accomplished. I mean, I've actually heard Democrats argue this, and I think they're making some good points. Again, I'm not a Democrat, so it doesn't apply to me. But if you're not a Democrat, or if you're a progressive, and progressive and Democrat are really not the same thing. They're, you know, the Venn diagram, the two circles do overlap some. But you can easily be a progressive, especially, well, if you're Bernie Sanders, for example, he's very, very progressive and not actually a Democrat. And, you know, he's kind of an outsider for the Democratic Party, kind of trying to invade it with his campaign. So if you're a progressive and you voted for him because you're a progressive, because it sounded like he was going to be a really progressive Democrat, well, then I can totally understand you being absolutely disappointed. And I don't think that you should have anything to apologize in regard to that, because he was not as progressive a Democrat as it seemed like he was going to be. So, I mean, frankly, I think what the progressivism Bernie presents is really no more radical or anything else than what Obama was presenting when he first ran.
Except he's openly admitting it's socialist.
Well, democratic socialist, yeah. But, you know, and I think also if Bernie became president, he probably would not accomplish near as much thinks he could, or as he's promised, or as he honestly thinks he could.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably all the same, really. Our country isn't really very progressive politically, just in general, not in terms of our electorate, not in terms of how our political process actually works. So if you have a lot of hopes for a progressive candidate, you're probably going to be disappointed. But, you know, I suppose most people feel like it, at least his presidency was better than if any of the Republican candidates had been president.
I definitely feel that.
I can definitely see that. I mean, yeah, Mitt Romney, please. Seriously.
Yep.
And again, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but Mitt Romney.
I've put together a theory.
I just cannot even believe he got nominated.
I don't know that I hold it anymore, but for at least a couple weeks I did. That the whole thing's a plot, and here's how it works. Trump keeps doubling down on the terrible. And at the last minute, some backdoor dealings happen, and he's not the nominee. And somebody that I would have just been terrified of before, I'm suddenly way less bothered by in comparison. Because when I was sitting here going, what if it was Rubio or Cruz? I was like, wow, that would be such a relief.
Well,
and don't get me wrong, I can't stand Cruz on every level, much. But I'm like, oh, it's such a relief if it's not.
It's interesting you should say that. I think on the podcast I said that when this election came around, I thought it would be, I thought the big party favorites would be Marco Rubio and Julian Castro. And the caveats I had was that it won't be Rubio if the Republican caucus goers and primary goers screw it up, which they always do. And my caveat for Castro was that he wouldn't be their pick if Hillary runs again. You know, like this is going to be her time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out my caveats were exactly right. Hillary's the person that they've anointed, you know. And I've heard that Castro might actually be on her short list of vice presidential picks. And indeed, the the caucus goers and primary goers of the Republicans have screwed up, but not because of Trump, because of Cruz. Because if you think about it, if it was just Rubio and Trump, and presuming Rubio would have gotten all of the votes that Trump doesn't get, well, Trump wouldn't be winning.
Well.
So.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm trying to say. I think my predictions were spot on, but if I was absolutely right about my predictions, it would be Cruz who was heading for the nomination, not Trump, because I did not see Trump. I mean, I saw
no one did.
Trump running and doing relatively well, sure, but
nobody saw this
doing as well as this, and having the establishment be so divided that even though he's still not doing well enough to get the nomination, he might still get it. Well, yeah, and also. On the Democratic side, I didn't see Bernie Sanders. I didn't see him running. I didn't see him doing very well. I didn't see him staying in the race this long. There's nothing about Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's a complete wild card for me. He doesn't fit in with anything I think in terms of how politics work in the United States.
And he really looks and sounds like Larry David. It's freaky. We're out of time, so I'm trying to get William out of my house. People, so work with me here. Like us on Facebook, because we said so. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us everything we're wrong about, or right, or Batman. And listen next week. Not just next week, but next week.
Yeah.
Forever and ever. Ever.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.